You are now listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
Here we are, back again, number 15.
15.
Episode 3, season 3, no, season 3, sorry, episode 15. Get the terminology right and the right way around.
Season or series? Oh, we've gone through this before, haven't we?
What did I say just then?
Oh, I think it's season.
Season.
Season 3, episode 15. For our New Zealand audience.
Indeed. The audience that just love us.
That's better.
What were we going to talk about today?
Oh, we were going to be talking about beating the blank page.
See, wasn't that kind of ironical of me? That my mind went
ironical.
Blank
and I was, is that such a word? It is now. Ironical.
It's a word that Robin Williams uses in Good Will Hunting.
Ah, oh, well, it must be.
And
must
he's talking.
Be a word then.
No, he's talking to another professor, and he goes, "I was being ironical." You know, so he's just.
Oh, right.
He's using it in a playful manner, so he's just being silly.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but I was having a mental blank moment, and we're going to be talking about
I think we're going to be talking about, you know, as a songwriter, beating the blank page, songwriter's block, or extending from that, if you're about to create something, how would you go about creating it? And of course that would depend on the discipline that your creation comes under, but I suppose as we are songwriters and musicians, we would be sort of waxing lyrical on songwriting and how we beat the blank page. Or if you're about to start writing a song, how would you start, you know, and inspiration and all of that sort of stuff. Bit of a light, you know, a lighter sort of podcast episode.
I've even got a blank page here.
You
like
do.
I've got a prop.
You do.
I normally have.
Won't
some...
make any sense to people who are listening to it, but if you're watching the video,
I can. Hang on.
Oh,
I've got a little notepad.
See, we're just branching into ASMR right
Yep.
Alongside the foot fetish OnlyFans page.
Yeah. Branching into our own little sound effects toolkit here. But you can kick it off, I guess, if you like. What's your kind of, I guess, process there's obviously a process that you go through if you're just thinking I'm going to sit down and write a song. You're probably already maybe thinking of something, but I guess there's also that if you kind of aren't having the ideas.
Yeah.
And you're trying to kickstart yourself, how you kind of go about that. What are some of the processes you use if you're just literally sitting there with a blank page in front of you and you're trying to create something from nothing?
One of my favorite ways of sort of generating something is to come up with some song title ideas. So I like writing from a title. So, you know, if I'll sort of read something or have a look around and or hear something that sparks off a song title idea, or go watch a YouTube video, or you know, go watch a movie, or do something. You know, I tend to have a sort of thing in the back of my head that you know, if I hear something, I'll say to myself, okay, that would make a really good song title. It was like a good example of this is I was watching a video on YouTube about the James Webb Space Telescope, because I'm really interested in astronomy, right? So I'm sort of watching this video and it was the guy was being interviewed. The guy that was being interviewed was the operations manager of the whole thing, and it was a 60 minutes documentary sort of thing, and they were talking about they thought that there'd be a part of the sky that was empty, and so they would, you know, point the telescope at that, and no matter what image would come back, it was just full of galaxies, so there was no empty sky. And I thought, that's a great title for a piece of music or a song,
you
know, No Empty Sky. So it's like, oh, okay, so that's one of my possible song titles that I have. I have lists and lists of possible song titles, and I do mental sort of gymnastics with words. You know, I'll have a title like, you know, say for instance, I'll write No Empty Sky, and then, you know, what could be related to that, and write a title underneath, and sort of morph new titles from old titles by changing words around or seeing what the meanings are. And you know, I used to be able to sort of every day I would fill, you know, three columns of an A4 piece of paper with, you know, song title ideas. And I just, you know, if I'm stuck, I'll go and have a look at that list and see what, you know, jumps out and grabs me by the scruff of the neck and says, write a song out of this. So, so writing a song from a title is something that I would suggest to people if someone asks me, oh, you know, I've got a blank piece of paper in front of me and I'm trying to write a song. It's like, okay, well, have a look around and see if there's anything that, sparks off a song title. And then from there, you know, you start writing things down about, well, what does that song title mean? And then you extrapolate from that the lyrical content of what the song could possibly be. Or, you know, No Empty Sky, if No Empty Sky was going to be a song, it's like, okay, well, what would that mean? You know, would that be, you know, an instrumental track that I can go and switch on the studio and go and do something with? Or would that have some sort of meaning that could be put into words?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I saw you looking around the kind of little podcasting
patchwork
set.
Suit jacket.
Yes, I was thinking. I was thinking. There's a picture of Kiss there, signed, photograph.
Yes.
But there, you know, that's the forgotten Kiss. So maybe it's forgotten Kiss.
The forgotten Kiss.
But then I was like looking.
Nice.
I was looking at the timber walls and thinking, Australian pine. Not quite as cool as Norwegian wood.
I once met a Sheila and she...
But, you know, you never know where
she said I was fine, Australian pine. Yeah, that would work.
Well, you should do a cover version of that next time you've got it.
Actually... I'm glad that we're recording this because, yeah, I'll forget. So that'll be cool.
Next time you've got a gig on like Australia Day, I've reinterpreted the song.
Norwegian wood. Everyone's like, oh, that's lovely. Oh, I once met a Sheila. She came from Bula Dealer. Anyway.
The funny thing is, if you sang that, somebody would come up to you and go, well, I fucking grew up in Bula Dealer. And you're going, hang on, that's a real place?
Oh, yeah, I know it's a real place.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I think it's in New South Wales.
I was going to say.
I might not have pronounced it correctly because I'm from South Australian.
Of course. Like Skule.
Like Skule and Fillum. But yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, we're digressing. But yeah.
No, but no, I mean.
But yeah, you have a look around and it's like, oh, you know. Blue underwear. No, that's what I'm wearing.
Oh. Sleepy dog.
Sleeping dog. Yeah. But no, the Forgotten Kiss, that's a great example of sort of associating, you know, something that's indirect with with another meaning, you know.
That's yeah, good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's funny, there's sometimes that I do that where I'm trying to write a song. So like Lost for Words, I was trying to, which is an original song if you guys haven't heard it. I think, I don't know, there's probably a version of it online.
This podcast episode could be sponsored by Lost for Words.
Oh, yeah. I have to look up whether there's a version of it online to link to. But if there is, I'll link to it in the description.
Yeah. Cool.
On the Buzzsprout podcast page. But, you know, with that, I was trying to think of, I want to write a song about my wife. And I was thinking, my problem is that I find it really hard to find the words, you know, to describe that.
Yep.
And I was kind of like, I'm lost for words. Okay, there it is. And if you haven't heard that song, the chorus is, you know, it's got some of your favorite ooh la la's.
Uh-huh.
But as you said, when I kind of presented the song to you, you said, yeah, but there's meaning behind that. They're there for a reason, which is, you know, you leave me lost for words singing ooh la la la. So it's like I'm singing this because
there's a context to it rather than.
Yeah. But it was, you know, it was that. I'm thinking about a situation and how to describe it, and then that title came. And if I come up with some random words, I do search for that title. I think the title can give you direction. It gives you kind of once you've got the title, it kind of gives you the direction from there, or the lyrics more meaning if you know kind of what the title is. It's kind of reverse engineering.
Yeah.
You know, like, what am I singing about here? I've got these words, but these words don't make any sense. I'm not really sure what they're about. And then you work out what the title of the song is, and you go, it's like you're reading a book and you never looked at the front cover.
Yep.
And then you suddenly look at the front cover and go, oh, okay. So now I kind of get where this is maybe
50
going.
50 Shades of Grey. That's interesting. Yeah.
I still don't know what the book's about. It's like lead pencils. well. Lead in somebody's pencil.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it can give you that kind of. And I used to do it when we first started writing songs. We'd read books of poetry and try to find kind of lines in poems.
Yeah.
That we could use that as a title, just that bit.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't read the poem, really as a thing. You'd just be kind of like looking through randomly at words. You weren't really kind of. You know, taking in the poem or what it was about. You were just looking for words or lines or randomly and thinking, where could that take me? Or even the title of a poem, why not? And not looking at the context, what it even means. The only one I can remember, and I don't know if it's a line from a poem or whether it's an actual name of a poem, was More Work for the Undertaker, which I may have mentioned in a previous podcast, I don't know, but that was one of the songs we had early on. Which we were trying to write metal songs, so
right.
You know, we'll listen to Metallica, so a song called More Work for the Undertaker seemed appropriate.
Right.
Teenage boys, what are you gonna do?
Ah, right. This is not like an early Soul Trader masterpiece.
No, this is teenage years.
Right.
You know, I can play bar chords, so I can write a song. You know.
Yeah.
I can play three finger bar chords, I can write a rock song.
Yeah. Oh. That's right.
I don't even know what that song sounds like. It was probably shit. There's probably a record. I should find a recording of that. I mean, there's bound to be one somewhere. Oh,
if there is, you gotta put a link to it somewhere.
Well, I don't know if I want to put it online. It'd be on a four track cassette tape somewhere.
Yeah,
I've got the four track.
Digitize it.
I've still got my four track recorder because I've got all these tapes that I one day need to, you know. Port across and see if there's anything worth keeping in there. Probably not.
But yeah, I mean, writing from a title is fantastic. And there's also websites that you can go to that are automatic. I mean, random song title generators.
Oh, they generate it for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think I have heard of those. I don't think I've heard.
I'm a real big fan of those, you know, song prompt generators, song title generators, using ChatGPT to
give you unique
Song titles about a particular subject. I mean, we were talking about this before recording the podcast, but, you know, I subscribe to a lot of blogs, you know, whether it be songwriting blogs or music business blogs or home recording blogs or Buddha/meditation blogs. You know, especially going through the meditation blogs, there's just in the titles of the articles, you can get song titles from that. You can get song titles from anywhere, really, if you look hard enough.
Yeah.
And you have the intention. But, I mean, that's my number one thing, you know, blank page. If you gravitate towards a song title, if something catches your eye and catches your ear and goes, oh, that would be a great song title, well, then you're already motivated and inspired and got the intention to write something. For you to hear a phrase and go, yeah, that would be great in the song, you're already putting something above and below it, yep, sort of on paper, but the paper is in your head and you can see it, so it's just a matter of translating that onto the blank page. That's a great way to start. And then
You're taking that title and effectively saying, you're going, okay, that's telling me what it's potentially about.
Yeah, so then and you can I just start free writing ideas and try to try not to have my inner critic get in the way and go, no, oh, that looks shit. It's like, no, your time to pick it apart comes later, you know. Fuck off. You know, just let me write and then I'll bring you in. You can pick it as much as you want, you know. But, you know, anything that comes into my head about that particular idea, you know, what does it make me feel? What am I seeing? You know, I'm asking myself questions, you know, why is the protagonist doing this? Why are they doing that? You know, what's the descriptors that I need to put in? You know, just pile in anything and then you've got this sort of long-handed sort of story that's part of this title, and then you just pick apart all the important words and there's your lyrics. I mean, it's a very simplistic way of looking at it, but I think you were talking about you know, getting a lump of clay, and if you're wanting to create a sculpture of a horse from a lump of clay, I mean, all you're really doing is removing the bits of clay that doesn't, you know, pertain to the horse that you have in your head.
Yeah.
I think Michelangelo...
That's his famous thing.
The statue of David is already in the marble. You just got to get rid of all the other stuff to uncover it. I mean, yeah, it's a very simplistic way of looking at it. But, I mean, that's what you're doing with writing. Another thing about beating the blank page is just writing in longhand and then shortening, you know, taking all the unimportant bits.
Yeah.
You know, editing later.
David was probably just sitting back kind of going, there wasn't any stone left in the groin area you could have left on there.
That's right.
You know.
Maybe there was. maybe he had a huge slong. And, you know, all of a sudden someone snuck up behind Michelangelo and went, "Wee!" And he went, "Chip! Oh, shit." You know, just this member fell off. And I'll just put a leaf over the top and... John Holmes became, you know.
Don't worry, John, I'll call it David instead of John. It's like, thanks, mate.
Oh, dear. No one will know it's you.
Yeah.
Honestly. No one will know it's you.
But, yeah, I mean, I was going to say, like, I've heard other people talk about songwriting where they'll have a set of lyrics, you know, and they'll record them. They'll record a demo.
Yeah.
And then they'll sit and listen to that for a few days and they'll come back and review the lyrics and change things. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, that's not going to happen very often to me. I mean, I might have a line in my head, but once it's, you know, fleshed out into a song, you know, then it's pretty much locked away. Do you know what I mean? Like I kind of get to a point where it's just like, no, that line's not right. I need to keep working on that. But I'm not going to record it with the wrong line in there because I feel like it then starts to you know, sit in your head. Like if I've got a line, even in a songwriting book where I've got a line written down and I sing it too many times, it can be quite challenging to come back and even tweak it slightly.
Yeah.
Because I've played it so many times that it gets embedded that that's – I like the tone and the rhythm of that line. If I change, a U to a we or a something like that, like a, you know, to change the position of the line, you did this or I did this or whatever it might be.
Sure.
It changes the rhythm and the tonality of the line.
Yes.
And although – And it might change it into the kind of context you want, but if I've been singing it too many times, it kind of locks itself in a little bit in my head.
Yeah, I can see your point. I mean, I wouldn't do that for the exact same reason, but I'm sure that there are other people that can really hear the changes that need to be made to a lyric if they do record it and then listen.
Like
with that separation,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's coming at them from the speakers rather than it being inside their head. So, yeah. You know, get a set of lyrics and I'll know what changes to be made because I can hear it in my head and, the singability, I can hear it. I don't need to record it, but some people may need to record it and then have it come back at them through the speakers.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just depends on how you orally and spatially process information, I suppose.
I was going to say that's actually a fascinating process, which we've probably spoken about in the podcast. But I mean, I've always been fascinated by. It would be interesting to sit on a stage in front of people. You know, you could do it in a podcast as well, I guess. Is to write a song, you know, in front of people.
Yeah,
where you're breaking down the process, and you know, obviously we have
there are videos on YouTube with guys getting together and you know, we'll write an album in 24 hours, you know, and like fully laden studio and all that sort of stuff. It's like, okay, we're going to write the songs don't have to be good, but they're just going to write a 12 song album in 24 hours, and so they'll put the timer on and then they'll go through. You know, go through the process of, coming up with the 12 ideas and then fleshing them out and all of that sort of stuff. And or maybe it's like one song or I don't know. But it's like, you know, it's some sort of ridiculous sort of goal within a certain time period. And, I mean, I'm constantly fascinated by that.
I think
it would be a great video idea for us, you know. Sort of it's like, okay, we're going to, the audience would give us a title and it's like, okay, well then.
See, that's the interesting thing. Like I'd love to do it as a, you know, like a, you know how you do workshops at
yes.
festivals and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know, I would just look at it like that perspective. We're just going to do our process and maybe go to the audience. Like we want you to give us, you know, throw a few ideas at us. We'll kind of put them on a whiteboard and then we'll pick a couple of them.
Yeah.
As a, you know, first 5 minutes, just chuck some ideas, situations, lyrics at us. Just, I like that one, that one. Okay, here's an idea, let's go.
Yeah.
I was going to say, when everybody says, there's lots of songs being uploaded to YouTube, what is it, some thousands per day, I don't know how many per day. And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of shit on Spotify. I just want to have a link to their album that they recorded in 24 hours and go, this is why. But, I mean, because I would record a song in front of an audience and write a song.
Yeah.
But if it's shit, I'm not recording it. I might rewrite it. I might rework it.
I think Andrew Huang did one once.
Right.
With somebody else. I think it was, you know, some other YouTuber like Jared Dines or something like that. And they had, you know, a certain amount of songs within a certain time period. And it was fucking awesome.
Oh, look, I mean, I'm sure that you can get some good stuff out of it. It's like painters who can paint on the fly. They can just
do something. I mean, doing something quick and giving yourself limitations doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be bad. But I think for most of it, it's, yeah, if you're slapping shit down because, you know, you want to get something done within a certain time period and it's like, I don't care if it's full of cliches, I can always just go back later on and fix them up, then yeah, you know, it's going to be crap. But, you know, I mean, there are people that, I'm sure that labor for years on getting an album out, and it still sounds crap, you know.
Oh yeah,
as crap as the.
I mean, I think, yeah. I mean, I'd like to do it. I'd be interested to do it because I mean, we have a process, and I mean, I labor over the words a little bit in terms of kind of getting the. For me, it's partly about the phrasing.
Yeah,
you know, it's trying to take. Because we've spoken about it in the podcast before. I mean, I was trying to paint a picture with words, a simple line of words that kind of, you know, gets the person, you know, imagining, you know, something. It's not just, I don't know, it asks questions of the audience rather than just making simple statements, if that, in a sense, mm-hmm. you know, it gets them to think. So I kind of labor over the words a little bit in that kind of sense. But getting back to kind of the process of kind of trying to write from a nothing perspective or trying to progress an idea maybe. So, you know, obviously the blank page is, you know, that's the very starting point, but then you might have a blockage. You know, you've got one line and you're like, oh, I really like that line. Or you might have a title and you can't, you know, what's next.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, writing down related words that rhyme. So you might have some words that you like that fit in with the title or fit in with the line you've got. Or you might have a line and you want to rhyme something with that. Or
it's a thesaurus is a must.
So writing down, so a rhyming, like you can obviously Google words that rhyme with. You know, pick any word that you've kind of already got. Thesaurus, so looking for words, you know, same meaning, you know, just to kind of make yourself sound a little bit more intelligent if you wanted to go for something a bit more jazzy rather than just the predictable.
Not necessarily that. I mean, the thesaurus, of course, is just full of synonyms, you know. So it's like, you know, you might see a word that, you know, grabs you by the hand and takes you down some sort of path and all of a sudden you've got a verse, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're looking for the bait that you put out that gets taken by the fish that you can just, you know, sort of reel it in, or you're just looking for something that, you know, you're walking along a certain path and then you come to some sort of impasse and you're just looking for, you know, a clearing that you can just walk through and start exploring, you know. And really at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how you get to that point in the process where you start walking along a tangent, you know. If it grabs you by the hand and takes you somewhere else, well, then you just let it take you there, you know, and see what happens. You know, I've been sort of asking of myself, you know, what is writer's block? Because I've been sort of feeling a little bit blocked myself in the past sort of, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, or, you know, in the sort of the recent past, I've been sort of feeling, you know, sort of blocked. I'll, you know, turn on the studio and, you know, I'll sit there and play some stuff and then all of a sudden I'll just feel bored and then shut it off, you know. And it's like, you know, why does that happen? And Charlie,
come here.
So
barking at ghosts again.
Yes, I know. So you know, I've been asking myself that question. It's like, well, you know, does writer's block actually exist, or is it sort of something deeper, you know? You know, is it, it's not something that's external, it's something that's internal. So, I just find it really fascinating because, you know, sort of thinking about these things, because, you know, if you can find ways to sort of bypass that, well, then you're going to, sort of ultimately create more. And that's the reason why we're here in the first place, is to create, you know.
I mean, I don't, the funny thing is I don't give it a lot of thought in the sense of the overall thing. I just know that I go through phases of sometimes creating more than others. you know, sometimes it'll be a flood and one thing will lead to the other.
Yeah.
And it just flows on. And I don't really kind of worry about it too much, at least from my perspective. I don't kind of think, oh my God, I'm not writing panic stations. Yeah, I mean, I can certainly understand that if you're trying to, you know, if you've kind of got a, maybe you've got a project you're trying to finish or your album, yeah. you think, oh, I need another track for my album. I mean, that's a different scenario where you're trying to, you know, you're trying to make it happen rather than let it happen. I'm a bit more of a let it happen, mm-hmm. you know, see what kind of comes to me. But I also think, obviously we're talking about the page being lyrical.
Yeah.
From a music perspective is, you know, just strumming through chords, you know, to at least for me, you know, putting the capo in different positions, hearing different tones coming out of the guitar. If you've got more than one guitar, play a different guitar that you haven't played.
Yeah.
You know, my, I can't remember what song it is. It might even be Move On, which is a pretty well-known song in the old Soul Trader circles because I play it at every gig that I play, even solo. I have a feeling that that song might have actually been initially written on my dad's guitar because when I played it, it was different tonality and I went, oh, this is – and it just triggered something in my brain that kind of got me thinking.
Yeah.
But certainly – if it's not that song, it's a song that I play. I have a feeling it might have been that one, but I certainly have songs that were written on his guitar, which fingers crossed one day will be in my possession. But, you know, playing on a different instrument, playing in a different room of your house, different reverb on the guitar, different environment, it can just change the feeling around, you know, you're strumming a C chord and... if you're in a different space, it comes out different. And, you know, so I think that, you know, you can look at, and obviously you can kind of go and do things like go for a walk, you know, clear your mind. But in terms of your instrument you know, using a capo on a guitar is a really easy way to obviously, you know, just move the same chord up the neck and hear capos a different tone.
Capos are great for that. And you've hit the nail on the head. It changes the... it changes the actual tonality, yes, and it changes the harmonics,
yes,
as well. I mean, there's nothing better than, you know, say, putting the capo on the third fret and then playing what would be the 12th fret harmonic, but of course it's 15th fret because you're three semitones up, and it just sounds better.
Yeah,
you know, I like to actually detune the guitar down, you know. Instead of having it tuned to E, I'll just detune everything down to E flat.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, you detune it to E flat, and then you put the capo on the first fret. So, you're playing your normal standard tuning, but it's on the first fret, and it actually the chords are exactly the same as you're playing.
Yeah,
but the harmonics are different because you've detuned.
Yep,
and just stuff like that, you know, just mucking around with that sort of tonality, and you know, you take a chord, you know, say you take an A chord or something like that, you know, with your three fingers, and this is for the guitarists out there, you know, the three fingers, and you take one of the fingers off and then strum it again, and it's like, oh, okay. That sounds really cool, and you move the fingers around a little bit more, and you know, some of it's going to sound bad, some of it's going to sound good, and all of a sudden you create a happy accident that leads you to something else. You know, there's a you know, one of the songs that is a good example for in my repertoire is a song called Seeing Stars, and you know, there's definitely a chord in there that was accidentally, you know, played in the writing of it, which actually turned out to be, you know, the one of the pivotal things in the song.
Right.
So, and that was because I, you know, instead of playing B minor, it went, you know, I played an A minor, and I, oh, that sounds fantastic. And then,
Yep.
Then it sort of
off.
Took me on a tangent from there, you know. So
I think the other thing we
having the patience and the courage to do that, I think.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the other thing, you know, another avenue to potentially take is to, which we haven't mentioned, but we've obviously spoken about in the past, which is, certainly in the songwriting space, is find somebody to write with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, bounce your ideas off somebody else, get some other ideas back, and you've got a mixing pot of two people's ideas and two people's perspective on something, or, you know, it can be more than two, obviously, but that can be something, you know, to look at. And, I mean, that's a bit challenging to find somebody to write with, but, you know, hang out with people who are, you know, of a similar kind of mindset, and I always think a similar, you know, kind of level as yourself. You know, if you're just beginning, find other beginning songwriters and, you know, you might form a bit like ourselves. I mean, you know, we had a few runs on the board when we kind of met, but we were still kind of early in the journey, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've formed a relationship and songwriting partnership that's kind of carried on for years. And, you know, so young songwriters, they can come to us, obviously, and, you know, potentially write, but they could find somebody, you know, who's at a similar point to themselves and just start messing around with different ideas and seeing what comes out, you know.
Yeah.
They could find some kind of magic of their own, you know, combining, you know, they don't have to be the same kind of styles of writing necessarily, or, you know, you might come up with a new genre of music, who knows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if your mind is open, then anything is possible. So it doesn't have to be someone of the same genre. You know, as long as both minds are open, you know, you might be able to find common ground in the collaboration, and something may come from that. But yeah, collaborating is a fantastic way to start and finish pieces, because, you know, there might be an opportunity to have someone else, you know, another set of eyes and ears look over the lyrics and listen to the music and make suggestions as to how that can be completed or taken further along the path to completion. That's always a handy thing as well.
Yeah, and I think with any form of creativity, if you're in something that's not the music space, it's just to experiment and do. You know, like you talk about clay. You were talking about clay before, but, you know, obviously, you know, any space, painting, whatever it might be, writing. I mean, writing is not dissimilar from songwriting. Poetry is obviously very similar, but, you know, it's just start jotting things down. You know, fleshing stuff out. If you're a painter, it's just like, well, just paint something. Try out some new colors. Try out some new ideas. As Charlie barks at probably my wife arriving home.
Right.
He ended last week's podcast as well, didn't he?
He did.
Charlie.
All right. I'm going to attend to Charlie here, I think.
I think you... Corey's jumped ship, and I think he's got Buckley's chance of controlling the demon dog. But you know, we might sign off. He's now he's wrestling the dog in the roadside studio here. I'm going to sign off for both of us. Strangely that Corey's not going to say goodbye, but he's wrestling a dog. You've been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and Corey Stewart Online.com. See you next week.